pursuit of conversation is supported by the generous donations of Rollo, Susie, Henrik, and Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
This is Be Told Show on, what's the date today? On the 29th of March. No. What is the date? 28th of March, 2026. You sons of bitches. All out of you. And I'm listening to Be Told with, what's his name? Rick. Yeah. Or whoever this wise guy is. Yeah. So I'll be back. Later, maybe. Thank you very much.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Watt. Thank you for listening to Be Told. Be Told. Thank you very much. Those wonderful guests, people that come in and introduce the show to... I know what happened to poor old Ken. Oh, it's because this is this is not the Rick and Rollo show. Rollo is unfortunately unable to... do a show as he has to run to the toilet every 15 minutes. He's not a well man tonight, so we'll be doing a Rick and Rollo probably. It could be any day. I like the idea of the See You Next Tuesday show, the C-U-N-T show, Rick and Rollo, on Tuesdays. I think that'll be a fantastic. It could be Thursdays as well. It won't be. Or could it be? No, it's Easter. I'll be working and coming back on the wedding from the wedding Sydney on Friday. I just had another feral express. No ferals, actually. It was fairly feral-free trip to Sydney. I got the train, which I regret. I do regret the coach service, which is a replacement service. Till the trains are fixed or whatever there's a matter with the morning, one of the trains. It gets you there really early, and I actually have 3 hours to kill, which is extremely dull. I'll talk about this a little bit on this Be Told episode number 60. Can you believe it? So it's that they all, did the guy mention that before? The gangster that's roaming around Joel's studio? Episode 60. And now I'll also talk about 60. Well, I remember the other thing I was about to talk about when I talk about the 60, I'll just write down 60. I'll talk about the lack of shops to go shopping in. I'll write the word 60 down. 60, I know 6 years. 6 years. 6 years. 6 years. I used to be able to go into the city in Sydney just to roam around and look at secondhand bookshops, record shops, interesting shops, you know, bookshops mainly, but secondhand ones and secondhand record shops. Now they've all gone except for Kinokuniya or Kinokuniya, whatever it's called, is absolutely fantastic, and you could lose yourself in there for an hour, literally lose, because it's so big. Japanese giant bookshop with mainly anime and comics, and no, it's got everything that I'm interested in. Absolutely fantastic if you can spell it and say it, it's even more impressive. Full of goths with blue hair and piercings, but not one of my children, who's got red hair and piercings and tattoos. And why not? Why not? He's fitting in with his current generation. Whereas me, no. I was always wanting to be different, and that's why... I like certain bands and things like that that are now become trendy, which I would not have liked ever back then. I mean, I like to listen to music that other people aren't listening to. It's my way. Yeah, this is my way. Anyway, so I'm roaming around looking to kill 3 hours last Thursday. And so I've got Kinnikinnia, Abby's books, and upstairs is Galaxy Books, which is like a mini version of Kinnikinnia. Old bookshops. Red Eye Records is still there, which is, if you're into music, fabulous shop to go to in the city. And the only one I didn't go to was Utopia, which is the home of heavy metal, which is one of the greatest shops probably in the world. I haven't been to Japan, but it's, I can hear the kookaburras. It is definitely fantastic if you're into metal, but I don't want to go in and see that it's about $500 to buy some of the stuff I'd like. But I would never buy that. I would never spend that money ever again. I'm not addicted. I don't worship these rock stars at all. I like some of them, but I do not hold them up any better than Mrs. Neasden down the road, who makes good scones, for instance. I'd probably have her higher than any of the previous rock stars that I used to literally have to talk about. And like my son with the that looks very modern, he is exactly like me. It's like a chipper. He looks like me, but with a kind of a honed in features that he got from his mother. So he's a very good looking child, this one. Like they all are. Sure they all are. But he knows all he's interested in is music, and sport. And I do not know where that gene came from, because it is certainly not from me. I was athletic, but I wasn't into sport, team sport. What's apart from softball? I love softball and baseball. I love them, but I didn't play them after I was about 12 or 13 or 14, whatever. It was lost interest. But I was good at that game. Did I devote myself to staring at famous players around the world? No. That's what they've done with sport. They've dumbed us all down. But yeah, so the city now is just really hard to find. 3 hours of browsing is really difficult, whereas 1990 something or other, and before that, you could spend a day just going into the many, many huge, big secondhand record and bookstores around the Winner East Sydney, particularly Pitt Street. Absolutely fantastic. Ashford's books, all of them. Red Eye was there too back in the day. It's the only one left, and Utopia. Anyway, now, way more importantly, on this Saturday, the 60th show, and not, like, I always say, this is one of the great shows. No, all I fish about and get my information. Some of it comes to me as well. But my goodness gracious, whoever it was that sent me to listen to the show with Ryan, whatever his name is, who I thought was someone else. He's only in his 30s, this guy. I'll find out right now and tell you, because it is absolutely high-class stuff that this guy, what's his name? It's called The Secret Teachings. The Secret Teachings. Think of his Johnny's Wrist, I would say. I would hazard a guess that it was Johnny's Wrist that told me, The Secret Teachings was Ryan, not Gosling, not Reynolds, whatever his name is. And he lives in Japan. Unbelievable. Look, anyway, so I was listening to his latest show, but he brings up this thing, and interesting, and I says, this ties in again with this movie thing. What was the movie, The Crow, that I said, this is Brandon Lee, directed by the Australian director Alex Proyas, who did Dark City. And I was, again, if you listen to the show, you know that I was hanging around the site, the city, the sets of that. And there was mainly in the sets, the sets, S-E-T-S, not X, for the algorithm out there. Anyway, so The Crow is a symbol. It's an ancient symbol. Now, there's been, in Israel, is it Tel Aviv, you know what a collective name of crows is? It's a murder. A murder of crows.
Ah, ah, ah.
That's what they sound like. We have them here, big black things. And in Tel Aviv, they've got this incredible amount flying about, which I saw on the news and, you know, on Facebook and, you know, various conspiracy sites, blah, blah, blah. But it's, look, it's a Native American tradition that the bird's the protector of the sacred law of Northern Europe, some reason. It's kind of, it says in Native American tradition, the bird is a protector of sacred law. Okay. And in Northern Europe, the crow is strongly associated with the Irish goddess of war and their Norse god Odin. And the murder was also known as Odin's Eye to the Romans, most famously. A gathering of crows. Now, just remember, if I went to the, what's it called? The queen, where the queen's jewels are in England, twings, like a pendulum do. And when you go walk around that incredible, very interesting, am I being recorded? Yes. Very interesting buildings, which I have done or talked about before. Not a special just on that, but I found it fascinating. I went up the stairs and I was touching the walls because I'd spent so many years on movie sets that they'd built exact replicas of things like that that I could go up and touch them out of foam. I was touching everything. Literally goes, and it was slate and, it was that, the rock that you can make flint from, the spark. Flint rock everywhere. Up and down I went up the stairs where what's his name was imprisoned, you know, many, many people have been imprisoned up the Tower of London. I was in different buildings, a fascinating place. But anyway, there's these giant crows that are roaming around on the premises. And these are big suckers too. And the myth is that when they fly away, England dies. It's the end of England. Now, I'm going to guarantee you now that wait for it in the next few months or whatever, or between now and 2030, I'd say this year, they're going to fuck off. Because I suspected they had their wings clipped because they were hopping around. You didn't see them flying much. And I'm telling you, these are big black crows. But they were, you know, part of the legend. But right now in Israel, there's crows flying everywhere. Like we get bats like that here in mid-north coast and in Sydney. But there's bats everywhere. Like sometimes the sky, I've seen Port Macquarie where the skies are black with bats. Whatever they're, what's the collective term of bats? A flit? A vampire of bats? Oh, I've no idea. I haven't looked at it. But anyway, more importantly, so this ties in with all these other myths and legends. And this guy, Ryan, and his show, he brought up something that fucking, I'm going to give him the, well, the last good one I heard was one of the conversation last week when David Johnson, Dave J, the controversial Dave Joe, he brought up something that I'd put this up with a nomination if there's an award next to this other guy's thing. That there's the six planet alignment at the beginning of this month, which the only planet not in it was Mars, and Mars was on the ground. That was the god of war, and that signified the start. And the next one he pointed out is on August the 12th this year, and the only one not in the lineup of the six planets is Venus, and he said it will signify the false love, possibly your false messiah, or someone's going to come and offer a solution on that date. You'll be told. Bongversations episode 55 last week. That was the takeaway from that show. But this guy, this guy's brought up something I'd never, ever, ever, ever heard of before. And I'll go to my notes to get the correct pronunciation of them. Yeah, the Tengu. Have you heard? Not Timu. T-E-N-G-U. Tengu. Now, the Wikipedia is kind of a dumbed-down version of it, so just forget about getting your info from Wikipedia because it gets heavily censored. But I'll give you the Japanese This is the Wikipedia ones, but the other guy, this Ryan guy that has a secret teaching show, he had, and this guy is pretty good. He's only 30 something or other, but he's got, and he's the co-host of, one of those great shows, Ground Zero. So he's no idiot. You know, he's got a good voice. Highly recommend that show, I've got to say. Anyway, he brought up the Tengu. I'd never heard of them before. Now, when I bring up, he said, what does this remind you of? The Tengu, according to the legend, this is off the top of my head here, from what I heard. A group of bearded people that have come from the underground, who are drinking blood, they have, now wait for it, a black cube on their heads and big noses. This is the Japanese myth. The Japanese myth. And he said, have you heard of any other group of people that might fit that description? Well, the Eskimos, I've always said, possibly. But I couldn't believe it. I thought, is that true? So I hurriedly, quickly looked, and yes, sure it is. Sure enough, it is. T-E-N-G-U. These demons that come out of the ground, according to Japanese myths, signified by something to do with the crow. The crow is a symbol of the Tengu. Aha. This is, you know, that guy, if between what I just said then, the six-plane alignment without Mars, the six-plane alignment without Venus, with Venus on the ground, coming on, that's up there. Say, out of, this is the latest Academy Awards of conspiracy, of truth, rather. Forget about conspiracy. That is really interesting that the Japanese have this myth. And guess what country just told that the Eskimos, they weren't welcome there for some reason? Japan. And they've got this leader, this female leader, who's real ballsy, you know, as opposed to most other leaders. She's just fucking ballsy is the word for it. And she looks like a female. And she obviously is a female. So listen to me now. There's a there there. There is a there there. I mean, how could that legend, I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, every bit of the description. So, you know, I'll move on from that. But, you know, people out there, Jan Eric and Dave listens to the show. There's a few people. Good. When I say a few, I'm talking about some really good people out there that I know listen to the show. But check out, I'll tell you the episode because I'm only just glossing over it. But I'll talk about I'll read this Tengu thing. Pronounced Tengu, literally, are a type of legendary creature found in Shinto belief. You're listening to Beto.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you very much. The wonderful voice there. Perfect tones for bumpers, be told. March the 28th. Saturday the 28th. It's very confusing. Rick and Rollo show, which just rolls off the tongue. Rick and Rollo. Really easy to do. Everyone says it too. More people say, I've heard of fakeologists particularly. They bump comes, they go Rick and Rollo. It just flows. Fantastic. I want me and Rollo to become doof DJs. Yes, I've got this idea that we become fat. We can make a lot of money as doof DJs going, and or just DJs in big dance festivals because Rollo looks like a wizard and I could be this kind of the complete polar opposite to him, and we could play it because we're both into that kind of music. And my daughter, Enid, is that what I referred to her? She has just been living the life in New Zealand, the South Island. She's just going to outdoor doofs. You know, these electronic dance parties. She's been to about four, five, up and down between wherever she is and wherever she goes to. She's telling me all the ones she's gone to. Having a fantastic time. Probably getting more little tattoos. Has your little tattoos all over? Not all over, but he's got them. But what a wonderful Enid. What a wonderful person she is. What living the life. 20, whatever she is, you know, 23, 24. What a life. Born just before a major psychological operation, almost within a couple of days. Yes, wonderful beer. I had a great surprise before. I just went to the bottle shop, liquor store, whatever you call it. And the better beer that I love, the one with zero calories and zero sugars, it tastes fantastic, was at least, it was $10 cheaper, which makes a huge difference when the prices of everything is going through the roof. Literally, literally. So anyway, back to this Tengu. I'll just read, this is Wikipedia, which is really dumbed down. So they think, they also take the forms of crows and birds of prey. Here we go. A Tengu supernatural creature with a red face, long nose, and a black cube on their head. Harbingers of war. Buddhism long held that the Tengu were disruptive demons and harbingers of war. I'd have thought harbingers, but it's harbingers. There you go. In all these years, their image gradually softened to one of protective, but still dangerous spirits of the mountains and forests. Now, this goes into Alan Watts and the other guy that he got it from, a lot of the stuff. I keep forgetting his name. They go on about the, what do they call them? Those strange name things that come, they came out of the ground. All the legends about these dusky, dust-covered travelers, that traders and like that, actually it came from the ground, from the mountains. Back in the day. Interesting. This ties in with lots of different things. Be told. But yeah, so just better off go and listen to someone else's show so he can get in all sorts of trouble for suggesting things. It's called Tell a Vivid Portents, Birds of War, March 26th, 2020. So it's only 2 days old. On the Crowmen and Tell a Vivid Portents, Birds of War, March 26th, Secret Teachings, Ryan Gable. Ryan Gable, I would have to say you're probably going to get the Oscar for this one. I don't know. Did you come up with it? Because whoever you got it from, this is big, big stuff. Because right now we're in the middle of all sorts of weird shenanigans going on, symbology-wise. He says drinking. Who cares? Anyone wants to complain? JF1, the man who's clearly eating expired tuna, and he's got some kind of acid effect that he's kind of off his head, writing just rapid fire words and sending them to me and probably a psychologist and Frank. Some of it makes a lot of sense. So he informed me about what's his name? He passed away. What's his name? Dash Crofts, who passed away from Seals and Crofts. Is there a portent of war with that? Seals and Crofts? I don't know. But and Dash? Is there a conspiracy element to that? I'm not sure. Just checking that I'm being recorded. And I'm being recorded. Fabulous. I look at me notes here. But, you know, it was, why can't I? Here it is. So where we got Dash Cross, Summer Breeze. Summer Breeze, that was a great song by Seals and Crofts from the 70s. Great band. We're not going to play it. I don't like it that much. Or do I? Yes, he's drinking. Yes, he's drinking. I couldn't believe so. This magic faraway tree I spoke on the last episode, which is only Wednesday night. So it's like literally I'm doing a show every 3 days. Is it? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, so roughly three days or 4 days. Now, I could do more too, guaranteed, particularly because I'm on the train now and I'm reading again. So I just spent a lot of time reading some very interesting stuff off this book, which I highly recommend, Michael Howard's The Occult Conspiracy. Some fabulous stuff. And if you're a case-hardened conspiracy theorist researcher like myself, you can start seeing patterns emerge of all these different conspiracies and different beliefs, you know, from the French Revolution through the American Revolution, da-da-da-da. It's the same old gang, but, you know, of causing disruption. They love being disruptive. And remember, order out of chaos. Order ab chao. Is that what they say? Yes. So, yeah, no, fascinating. But that crow thing, and it's going on right now. Check it out. I mean, did they, you know, we're going to pretend to be fakeologists here, and I say that pretend to be, because I'm not one. Did they fake it with AI? Now, I'm telling you not. No, but they didn't need to, because too many people taking photos of the thing. But yeah, it could be. But this is the problem with that. It's like throwing a wet blanket over everything. We're watching real things happen right now. Real things. And I'm into the esoteric conspiracy stuff, which is why I'm kind of phasing that. I've seen, I have wasted way too much time over there analyzing things. We should have moved on. Not 9/11 particularly. Fucking move on. Move on. And Charlie Kirk, move on. The people, they get you into these little things and you just sit there analyzing the same old, you know, and I brought it up last week, the last episode, I think it was, that Nipsey Hussle. Like, yeah, it was really interesting, but I got sucked into it and I wasted time. Actually, I know what we'll be playing tonight. Wasting Time. Great song. Now, also, so I was reading this in this occult conspiracy thing. One of the most important things that Americans need to realize is that their founding fathers are all basically witches, literally. Of the word we describe as witches or pagan, or, you know, like people that knew a lot about the hidden knowledge and Rosicrucian type stuff, guaranteed. All your presidents, et cetera, right up to, you know, Reagan particularly. Reagan built, Manly P. Hall Museum. He was obsessed with them. The Americans love this kind of, this kind of stuff. I'm talking about the politicians. He says doing something more unhealthy, apparently, but I don't say so. So, yeah, so the founding fathers, particularly, say, John Adams, and what's referring to John Adams, the co-host of the one of my favorite, guaranteed my all-time favorite shows, apart from the Cutting Through the Matrix, is the Hoax Busters show. We had laughter and good research. Had John Adams and Chris Kendall and Jay Dyer, who's now going up to bigger and better things. But I heard John Adams' voice recently. So John Adams, if he's out there, come onto this show. You're very welcome. This is a guy that brought a lot of the stuff that I'm into, the most interesting thing that he was just starting and he disappeared, thanks to a contretemps on fakeologists. About the music and the use of alchemy in music and lyrics, which I find fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Now I'm going to forget about what it was. Oh, yeah. The Addams Family, yeah. So the Addams Family, the TV show, was keeping you not remembering the Addams Family that came over here on the Mayflower. Again, there's a lot of symbology with that one. We're just about to go to 6/11, be told. Right on that subject, too. The Mayflower. So John Adams was 100% pretending to be the Puritans were, in actual fact, your Rosicrucian type, or, you know, Templar / you know, hidden knowledge or secret teachings pushers. And they came over and they set up, you know, Washington right where they needed it to be, on a swamp for some weird reason. They're always building these things on swamps. Canberra is built on a swamp. Why is this so? There's a there there. There is a there there. And so Adams, again, you've got to read this book. And if you get, there's probably a PDF. It'll be hard to find, I'd say. The Occult Conspiracy by Michael Howard. He really does nail it. Really put some good stuff out. Highly recommend it. Hopefully I'm not buzzing. But I'm drinking, et cetera. I'm drinking, et cetera. But that's why this is the Be Told Show, and that's what you're going to get. But you're getting a whole lot of compressed information in an hour, whereas other shows, they'll dwell on one topic. I just jump from one to the other, like a bee pollinating flowers. We talked about that on the last episode. And my suggestion that it would be really handy if we could reproduce that way and just have a bee land on the male's head and then pop onto the female, and the female gets pregnant. And she just needs to wear a hat if she doesn't get pregnant. It was my thought of the day on the Be Told episode 59 on last Wednesday. But yeah, this is what happens. You get stuck. Say what's his name? What's his name that goes on about the Kennedy shooting? There are people that have spent 60 fucking years on this. Oh, that's why I wrote the six down. Now, six again. This is the 60th episode. I'm going to bring up a couple of 60s. It was 60 years exactly this year since 66. Because I know that because some of my family was born on the 6th of the 6th, 66. And a very good friend of mine was born on, I think, 6. No, not, anyway, he just turned 60. And that, the movie, so much happened in 1966. I think 66 was year zero, according to the Satanists. Yes, it was. Rosemary's Baby, the Twin Towers. I think that might have started in 66. Am I right on that one? But so this is obviously this is the start of the big thing. The big, big, big thing is starting now. We're watching businesses go broke left, right, and centre in Australia. It's happening. It's happening. It's also, they use the six all the time. The six has to be in it. And the zero means nothing. Just remember that. It means nothing. Well, it doesn't mean nothing, but it's as long as they get the six in there. And it's exactly 6 years yesterday since the lockdown started in New Zealand. And guess what the government in New Zealand have said? They're going to have lockdowns for the fuel crisis on the day 6 years later. Work this one out. So you're going to find in 1966, just go through your history of how many things happened in 1966. I'm telling you, this is the greatest show I've ever done, ever. Guaranteed. The greatest show, I've done a lot of shows. I've done well over 1,000 different shows and more. I'm hazarding a guess. This is it. This is the greatest one you've ever heard. Until the one I do tomorrow night. Or even tonight, who's to know? Yeah, so six is featuring everywhere. It's 1966 was 60 years ago. 2026... In 1960 years. So I'm getting a lot of friends and even family are turning 60 this year, which I've already done last year. No, I turned 61 last year, the year before. So just be aware, this is not a rehearsal. This is the start of the dramas. And I think on the last Bongversation, the one before that, by coincidence, the controversial Dave Joe said it's about to start, and he said there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to happen. It's already been written. So 3 days later, after our show, which was I think it was on the 26th, it must have been the 26th or something, or 25th, we got that thing that happened, the six planet alignment, blah, blah, blah. We've had the rumors of war, the fog of war, etc. But now real signs and happenings are going on, just like it says in the Revelations and Daniel and things like that. Signs and wonders, signs and symbols, signs and wonders, they're happening right now. The raven, the crow, rather, or crow and ravens, is happening. It's on the media, It's in your psyche, so they are not mucking around. Did they bring in a whole lot of crows and cages and release them? No. Just like bats, they do it every now and then. But this is a portent of something or other, guaranteed. So we'll just gloss over the John Adams thing I was talking about before, but look into him and the fact that Adams Family was a TV show in the 60s. And what's his name? Was he the guy from the Adams Family? Was that the same? He's just turned not today or no tomorrow. He's 96 or 98 years of age. John Astin. Was that the Adams Family? Or was that And he also played the Riddler in an episode of Batman. The best episodes, the 1960s ones. With the bang, whap, zow, exclamations and animations as they were fighting with Adam West and Burt Ward. See, I'm pretty good with names off the top of my head today. I've listened to shows that I've done years ago, and I've obviously had brain fog, which I did, which is caused by inflammation, and that's something you've got to look at. Tonight I'll give you another great piece of advice to stay healthy, which I'm doing quite regularly, is source yourself organic, non-mercury-filled or non-aluminium-filled baking bicarbonate soda, which you can get, especially in America. They say a lot of it comes from America. I don't know why, but they seem to be into it. You can use it for cooking and cleaning and whatever. I just tip it into my water. I throw a pinch of it, or it's like a solid pinch into water, and it de-alkalizes you, because all this shit that you've got in your diet alkalizes you. You've got a real high acidity, and cancer, or what they call cancer, loves acidity, are guaranteed. So it's a real simple and cheap way of doing that. Just get it online at some cleaning. Just look for organic cooking a food grade bicarbonate soda, keep it in your cupboard. And if you want to waste it on cleaning, you can. I'd use the cheaper aluminium mercury laced ones for that, but you can. Fabulous Saturday night drinking. I love it. And why not? It's a free world for now. Or is it? Or is it? And I'm going to say no. So yes, I mean, 60 years this year since 1966, which was year zero to the Satanists. Work it out. This is not a rehearsal. Yeah, get some food in your cupboards and access to supplies, because they're going to make things really difficult, particularly for us at the moment down here. But even in New Zealand lockdown. You're listening to Beethoven number.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Thank you, Joel. The art of condensation on the, which is not doing that. It's beautiful at the moment. It's cold. I'll just say this weather-wise. This is episode number 60, coincidence, of Be Told, the greatest show ever done by me, ever, in 8 years, since I've been doing shows on the internet. 8 years this year. Would have been more potentially interesting if it was six years, but no, it's 8 years. And we're on the, again, 28th of March, 2026, 60 years after 1966, which was guaranteed the year zero, according to the Satanists. That's what they said. And have you watched Rosemary's Baby? I haven't watched it since many years ago. But it's not a bad movie. And there's interesting things if you analyze that movie. It's even the bookshelves in the apartments. If you zoom up and look at what books are on the shelves. There's a whole lot of interesting things in there. And what's her name? Mia Farrow, or Mafia Arrow as who used to call a mafia Arrow? Was some a really good movie reviewer that's probably dead now, Doug Anderson, that used to work for the Sydney Morning Herald. We've lost all these clever writers. They've all been sacked or got too old, and now it's been replaced. And I was reading, I read 4 issues that I got for free from the job I was on. That order them and they throw them out in the evenings. And I grabbed them because they're about $5 each for the stupid newspaper. And I was just looking at the dumbing down of the Sydney Morning Herald, which was a broadsheet, which means it opened right up and yet it was yet to be quite like a almost doing origami if you're on the train to read it. A skill in itself. And they turned into a magazine and they just replaced, and Murdoch, wasn't Murdoch that got involved with Packers, I think, that had this one. And they just turned into reviewing today's food review was, to be honest, interesting. It was reviewing potato chips and how crappy most of them are. But just the general writing, it was like you were reading a blurb or something off a TikTok account. Back in the day, they had really clever, funny writers, and Doug Anderson was a movie reviewer, TV reviewer for the Sydney Morning Herald. And I used to, every, I think it was on Tuesdays, there used to be a section, the coming week of TV, because this is the days before the internet, when you had, you know, yet to find out what was on TV, because it was only going to be on once, and you didn't have, yeah, there was videos that come out by then, but he was around since the 60s, this guy. When you had to find out what was going to be on TV because it was going to come on and you're going to watch it and it was not going to be repeated, and you could not find a YouTube short to show it to people. You had to remember it, and that's why I can remember huge tracts of conversation from Monty Python and repeat them off the top of my head. At will, and do all the voices. And that's why my generation are usually quite good mimics, because we get to mimic the movies and everything to try and explain to your friends what happened in that TV show or movie. All gone, all lost. Although my son, Norbert, and he's a good mimic. And I think actually Heinrich probably is as well, actually. He just doesn't do it as often as his younger brother, who I spotted as a mimic. I knew when he was 2, when he imitated the Chinese, I used to always pretend to be Chinese, those phone people. Hey, Real, can I help you? Hey, Real, can I help you? When you rang up an Asian business or whatever, or they rang you. He did that when he was 2 years of age, and he did it perfectly. And I was going, this kid has definitely got my ninja-like skills of mimicry. And he still is good at it. Be told. It's so funny when you hear someone that can just suddenly just do a perfect imitation of somebody else and in the conversation. I think it's an art. And that's why I was very, Jay Dyer and John Adams are both good mimics as well. Very good mimics. And that's what made me laugh so much when I listened to the Hoaxbusters show, which again, I'll put that right up there, way over anyone else's show. Way over, because I laugh all the way through. I also always got a laugh from Alan Watt. He had this such a great sense of humour, and a Pythonist as well, like myself. And that's what it's all about. Because I'm telling you now, if you ain't got one, you're in all sorts of trouble right now. You've got to laugh. You've got to laugh, because otherwise you're done for. I'm just going to mute for a second. I'll be back. I must also try and send a message to Jan Erik to come on and do a show with me, because that guy was one of the original Hoaxbuster callers back in the early days, and then he left after he didn't like Marcus Allen, apparently, and I think that he left after that, and because he's a very fractious character as well in his day. I think he's still around, though. He's still around, but Jan's more dry and very down-to-earth Norwegian. So if he wants to come on and do a show with me, he's extremely welcome. Extremely welcome. So anytime, pop in. You've got total Keys to the Be Told show. Doesn't work on Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo's show is not for this kind of conversation. It's a show completely meant to be laughter, drunkenness, and fun. And sober people or anyone that's not off their heads does not, and we talk about serious things, does not work on that show at all. As you would have heard last week, it was a fucking car crash, guaranteed. We mentioned I've been talking about funny things and I get triggered. Be told. Justifiably so, though, unfortunately. Interesting, I was just seeing that where I'm from in New Zealand, they're making and supplying Thailand with planes for rainmaking. Little ones that could fly around and spray silver oxide over pregnant clouds and the rainmakers for a certain season where they get a lot of issues with rain in Thailand. And the company is in where I'm from and makes them. I did not know that. Rainmaking is a thing. Unless you go into fakeologist and it doesn't exist, which is, again, being phased out by me big time. I'll do something completely separate on an individual show, but I'm not going on shows with I call it weather deniers, weather technology deniers. They're gone. They're history. Even I went on last week, though. I had to go over after because I was a bit nasty to poor the fakeologist, who I've done many shows with over 8 years. So I have to give allow people to pretend that they don't believe in these things. I need to accept people are stupid sometimes or deliberately stupid. And I need to get over that. Not a problem. I can do that. But sometimes I just get triggered after you heard my day the other day. I'll bring up, let's talk about trains, the train journey in my week. This is kind of basically a diary of my that I keep the Be Told show so I can remember what I did. In years to come, if I start forgetting things. So I got this train down, which was 2.5 hours late. We're getting into the winner is Sydney. Sydney had been hit. I was looking at my phone and the Facebook by this mega lightning strike of the biblical level that took out, of course, the Ashfield line or Leppington line. Joel will know what I'm talking about. I had to go and do my job. I got in there. What time did I get there? 10 o'clock at night, 20 past 10. I had a big job to do near Central Station, which I've been doing for 21 years. Did the job, had to get back before the last train, not knowing that the line that I was using was completely out. And luckily there was this very lovely Indian lady, a train worker, and she said, I said, which, is there any trains going to Ashfield? And she said, I'll have a look. She got her phone, and she said, because I have to find out myself, because she's going in the station near there. And she found me, there was a train, and guess what? It was Joel's train that he wasn't on. It was the Springwood train at 12:05 midnight, 5 past 12 midnight, and Platformer 11, yes. And I ran there with this. She was behind me, actually, because she had to get to it as well. And the train left, and I got a ride to Strathfield, which is two stops away from where I normally live. And then I had to get a bus at, like, 1 in the morning and then walk back to where I stay with my shoes that aren't that comfortable. So, yeah, so I didn't even get to sleep till about 2 or 3 in the morning. I had to get up and work. A bit later in the morning, but it was still fairly annoying public transport experience. And they are definitely encouraging this kind of work from home thing again here and making it so difficult that there was, I was going through stations and looking out from the Feral Express train coming into Sydney. There was just crowds of people at stations because they're all stuck because of these lightning strikes. Were they engineered? Very possibly. So we talk about weather manipulation and modification for the agenda on this platform. On the show. Anyone that denies it is not welcome on this platform or on the show at all while I'm talking about it. You can come on to Rick and Rollo show, no problem. But not on this one. You're just wasting your time. Wasting your time. So listen in if you want to get some great information. This is the show to get it from. Because I am just harvesting what I hear, sometimes what I feel, what I discover, and putting it out in say 55 to 1 hour time slot. It was fabulous last Wednesday to have Martha, who, again, always welcome, talk about Scotland, because he just comes in and he disappears. He's only there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes or whatever, but he's always interesting. Always interesting. And then we had that wonderful emu dance. I'll say dance for the Australians, who lives not far from me. And we talked about stuff, even though we had Joel bombarding us with sound grabs. He must have been bored that night. But we're talking about food co-ops, which are going to be necessary in the future. And I'll bring that up on the show before I go. This is a really simple thing to do. For families, if you're a family. Now, me, I'm living alone, except for occasionally have one child here, except for, you know, special occasions, there might be more, but is this not really affecting me? Food prices, I can cope. I can eat sausages if I have to, if I can get them, and vegetables, you know, blah, and get friends that grow. If you have a family and you want to save money, what you do is you form a co-op. And I've discovered this while working for, my next door neighbor, who was, what's his name? Bruce from Mad Max and The Matrix and Dark City. Can you believe it? The great big tall actor. I can't remember his surname. Bruce Spence. Who got named by that? Set up conspiracy theorist Fiona Barnett that's out there as being part of some nefarious thing. I don't think so. I did not get I can usually pick a vibe. He's a really nice, down to earth guy with nice kids and wife. And he gave me a whole lot of records, including the Beatles albums box set unopened, which I've given to my daughter and she hasn't returned. But anyway, he and his wife were part of a food co-op, and he showed me what they did. So every Thursday, you get four families or five families involved. So it's a monthly thing. It's your turn. Each date you get a date, and you put the money in. So it might be $50 each nowadays, but back then it was a lot less. And the one member of the co-op went out and went to the market. And bought bulk, a sack of this, a sack of that, a sack of that, a sack of that. They then bring it home, divide it out, put it into boxes, and drive around and take it to the other people that are members of the co-op. Usually in Balmain, they're all, you know, close by. Here, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's still doable. And so basically, your food prices are not only halved, but sometimes quartered. Because when you buy in bulk, it's so much cheaper. If you buy a sack of potatoes for $10, you can divide it up. When it's like probably $10 a kilo or $4 a kilo for four, if you buy it, you know, like we've been conditioned to in supermarkets. And that's how they've done it. Make us buy smaller amounts and charge us more for it. So food co-ops are a thing of the future. And I was advising, Emu dance about that last Wednesday on the last Be Told show I did. But this is what people are going to need to do. And I'm talking about globally. And it's such a smart idea. Even if you just, you know, you can do it with anything. Just buy, like you go to Costco and buy a giant thing of washing powder for a fraction of the price of one that lasts you 3 or 4 weeks. And it will last you a whole year. And my observance as a person who works for rich people, which I do, is that the rich people do this as well. Rich people know they're smart with their money. They buy bulk. Everything's in bulk. They buy enough tea to last a year for a fraction of the people, like someone like me, the useless eater that I sometimes have, who goes in and buys a packet of 50 tea bags. $5, when I could get 1,000 tea bags for another $5. I'm not joking. You know what I mean? It was $15, say, $20. And that would last me all year. But no, I'm having to relearn and become like my father, who's an expert at this behavior as well. I've got my mother's side, the conspiracy theorist part. Not good with money. My mother was Elizabeth Taylor, literally, and my father was Steptoe from Steptoe and Son. Never a good couple. Based on, again, with what most relationships looks, that's what attracts people, instead of practicality. You need to find someone that's practical if you're a practical person, and if you're based on looks, someone that's good looking, then you both go broke very quickly, and that's what happens. Again, this is the greatest be told that's ever been done. I'll put money on it. I'll just double check my notes, and otherwise I'm going to go and I'm going to go watch TV. Yes, I need to catch up on the Joel. What's he going to call it? He should have a name, a proper name. Like, you know, we've got Netflix, Joel Flix, Bello Flix. His fantastic site thing that he's got. Bleep, 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 blah, 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 blah. Magic poetry, fuck up. Yeah. Anyway, they got a review today, a glowing review of how good the film is. And I knew straight away this reviewer had never seen or read the books before. Because, you know, everything is just, they've added to it and they've put an American, they've got ex-Spider-Man playing a, there was no father or mother in this original book. There were just the four children going up this tree and their auntie that would, you know, they were staying with. They've completely fucked it up. Just like, and I was talking about this the other day, Thomas the Tank Engine, one of my children, Norbert, was obsessed, literally obsessed with trains, and he had to have everything. We spent, I'm telling you, thousands or, a couple of thousand on various Thomas the Tank Engine, all the trains, the kits, oh my God. No, yeah, no, thousands. Sorry. There was a TV show that was a remake, of the original books, and it was fairly accurate to the original books, and it had Ringo Starr narrating it. When the Americans got their fucking talons on it, or whoever runs the American film industry just to make more money, they put Peter Fonda in it, a completely random story. And yeah, kids probably watched it, but if you're a Thomas the Tank Engine purist, it was just ludicrous. They're doing the magic faraway tree. I talked about it last week. Anyway, the reviewer says, oh, it's fantastic. And I was going, have you seen the books? The stories? There's nothing about what anything. You're listening. Hey.
No matter what you're in.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Fantastic, Bumper. You're listening to episode number 60, the greatest show I've ever done. And I hope to God there's no buzzing. No buzzing in my ear. And if there is, just imagine I'm being attacked by a bee. So to put up with it. That's the only way to deal with it. Anyway, yeah, so back to, you know, so episode 60 on the 28th of exactly 1 month since the start of the Six Planet Alignment Fog of War, which is going on. Controlled demolition, obviously. But look, are they going to do this? Yes, they are. Like, there's going to be all bets are off now. All bets are off. All bets are off, as they say in South Africa. They're going to do everything. And I've spoken to so many people. I had a conspiracy off. It's like a conspiracy theorist competition with the guy that works in the service station there, who's also a conspiracy theorist. About who's got the best one. And I brought up the, at that stage, the Six Planet Alignment with Mars on the ground. And he said, well, he thinks that they're going to, and I totally believe this too, definitely spray or put mold, some real bad thing's going to come out, and the people that take the vaccine will be saved, or whatever. There'll be some kind of thing that's like, if you've ever had mycoplasma, which I did, pneumonia, I got saved by very strong antibiotics, which knocked it out. And I 100%, they stuck it in my arm and I was better, you know, that afternoon. Urethromycin, I think it's urethromycin, knocked it out. The other ones that the hospital gave me did not work. Now, are they going to introduce and just spray over the top of your head, or by one of my theories is those things in restrooms, those heated hand dryers? All you'd have to do is have the mycoplasma spores in that, and it was spray it on everyone that used it, and it all gets sick from that particular restroom. I had that thought that was a possibility in the 80s. Can you believe it? I had this thought. I remember, it's a long story, I'll talk about it on another show, but I got sick afterwards, and I was thinking, I had this kind of gut instinct that that's where I got it from, because it was one of those heated hand dryers, and I was thinking, back then, you know, it was germs getting sprayed around, but it could have been loaded up, because the Americans got caught in Australia testing germ warfare in the 60s via the Navy, which were notorious for this type of trick. Look it up, biological warfare tests in Australia via the Americans that happened. They got caught, and it's in the media back in the day. And I was thinking, mycoplasma, which I had pneumonia, is a spore. Spores are a thing, not a virus. A virus isn't a thing. Spores are a thing. They could use the spore thing to start a big, lot of people getting sick. Is it the one that me and Martha discussed with the meningitis vaccine that's going down in England at the moment? I do think the cull's coming. I hate to be negative, but it's coming. The portent of the crows or the ravens could be part of it. Be told. Anyway, that'll do for me tonight, and we're going to go out with a fantastic song, Jan Hammer, and my favourite guitarist from Journey, what's his name? Why can't I remember his name? It's called Wasting Time. It's off his album. It's the album's Jan Hammer and whatever his name is. I'm going to have to mute and find out, because it's ridiculous, so I can't remember one of my favourite guitarists' names. Really annoying. Really annoying. What? I should try A, B, C, D, D, E, F, G, H, I, J is Yarn, K, L, M, N, 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 Neil, it is N, Neil, I can't remember what's the surname, it's Neil from Journey, the guitarist from Journey anyway. Really awesome, and they do guitar battles. I love the song. Back in the day, and they also did some music for Miami Vice, I do believe. Well, Jan Hammer did the theme to Miami Vice. But Neil, really unusual surname. He was ex from Journey. He was the guitarist from Santana, and you see him in action when he was only very young in the Woodstock movie, which we talked about in the last show, or the one before. Sean, there we go. Neil Sean. I would have got that if we'd done the ABCs. That's Sean is S-H-O-N. Yeah. Wasting time, because we wasted so much time debating and arguing, mass debating and arguing on various platforms. Useless things that we should have just got over and moved on from. So we were wasting time. Anyway, be told, 60, wasting time. Ha ha ha. Actually, Joel, try that, mute that, if you can hear me. Because that is a bad version. There's a much better version. I know that one that you're using. Try another one because it should be heavier bass, and that's a real tinny version. Lucky we stopped it because it doesn't sound as good as the original version. There'll be a HQ version. That's it. We got it. Thank you, Joel. Joel, that's the example of excellence in production. You just heard it there. I said, Joe, that's not sounding as good. And boom, the real version came out. Fantastic. Neil Sean Jarnhammer from 1982 or 3. Wasting Time. Fantastic. On the Be Told show.